together. So yesterday, again, we spoke about this dispute between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. Rabbi Meir says if a person tried to get somebody charged for, you know, a financial crime and the whole thing was a fraud, so then they should have to pay the money, kasher zamam, and they should also get malkos because they violated the aseres adibros, alo sanav reyachay et shaker. But we don't accept that. We say one penalty is sufficient. Kol mishali menu loke. If you pay money, you don't get lashes. And the idea is because if the whole idea of lashes is to give a person a chance to be rehabilitated, so here, you know, maybe the idea is you're rehabilitated through paying off the fine. So the third Mishnah in the first parak picks up largely on that note. The Mishnah says, "Midananu bishponi shuchayev malchus arbaim v'nimtzu zomin lokin shmoni mishum lo sana v'riachayet shakar mishum v'asisim lo kasher zamam divi Rabbi Meir v'chachamim omrinen lokin ela arbaim." So you have the same kind of a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. Rabbi Meir says, look, you have a situation where you wanted to set somebody up for lashes. You testified against somebody that, let's say, you know, he ate a nevela, whatever it was, with a proper warning, and so it's a lav sheish b'mais, you should get lashes. So Rabbi Meir says it should be two. First of all, you lied about that, so it's kasher zamam, you were setting him up for lashes, and because you falsely testified, you should get 80 lashes. So we say, no. The Chachamim say we all relate to it as one organic entity. In Lokin Ella Arboim, he gets one set of lashes. Mishalshlin b'mamad ben Mishalshlin b'makos ketzad heyidu shulchayev l'chaveru ma'asayim zuz v'nim suzom Mishalshlin b'nehem avam heyidu shulchayev malkos arboim v'nim suzom min kol echad v'echad loke arboim. So let's say you have edim zomin, you have typically two witnesses, it could be 100, but just let's just work with two. So if they're testifying against somebody that he's obligated $100 and it's all made up, as we'll see in a second, because there is really no way they could have known that. They were in the city of Chicago at the time, as we like to say, Imanu Hayisem, each one is obligated to pay $50. So we divide it between the two of them. If there are 10 people there, each of them would have to pay $10 to make up for 100. But when it comes to Malkos, if they're setting up the guy for Malkos, each one of them has to get a full set of lashes. So the Tiferes Yisrael explains, because basically we don't look at money and lashes in a similar fashion for these purposes. When it comes to money, the maximum pain the guy would have felt is $100. So however you get to $100 is the issue. But the maximum pain he would have felt if you set him up for lashes, 39 lashes. So, you know, if the whole idea is really in terms of being a deterrent, so each one of them should be deterred and say, you know, like, they could each get 39 witnesses together. They get 39 witnesses together and say, what's the worst thing? If we get caught, we'll each have to get one lash. All right, we'll live with that. But, you know, if you say each one will get 39 lashes, so taking Tiferes Yisrael basically half a step further, but he points us in that direction. So the fourth mission in the first perek gets us to sort of like the essence of Edom Zomimin. So we say, "An Edom Nasim Zomim Achi Zomim Tzatzim." Ketz and Amar Eden Bishponi Shahar gets a nefesh. Amar Lan Heyachatam Eden Sherei Nerag Zeh O Ahorig Haya Imanu Osa Yom Makomplonu In Elu Zomimin. Avol Amar Lan Heyachatam Eden Sherei Atem Hayisem Imanu Osa Yom Makomplonu Harei Elu Zomimin V'Neragin Alpiyam. This is what we call the Chiddush of Edom Zomimin. The Gemara always says Edom Zomimin is a big Chiddush. So you have situation, let's say, these two witnesses came along and they testified that Reuven killed Shimon at this location on this date. And somebody comes along and says, it's impossible. Shimon was with us at that time. So you can't say that maybe Shimon's dead, but couldn't possibly be. So we just say at that point, it's Eidos Mukhashas. You have contradictory Eidos, you can't do anything about it. Likewise, if you say the murderer is with us, you're claiming that Reuven murdered Shimon on that date and time. So that's considered Eidos Mukhashas. Everybody walks out of the court. But if we get them in a different way, which again, on its face, doesn't seem to be that much, it's like a distinction without a difference, but it makes all the difference in the world. If we say, you know, how in the world could you testify that Reuven killed Shimon at this location on this date? Because we know that at that exact time, you were with us in a different location. You were with us in Chicago that day, the Mizomman. That's a big chiddush, but that's the definition of Edom Zomim. It's very fascinating. The Gemara refers to Edom Zomim as a chiddush. My chas is the smochachani, smochachani. Another aspect of the chiddush is that not only are we like super focused on where the witnesses were at that time, a certain brazenness for them to testify that they saw something that they couldn't possibly have seen, is that how do we know that the two guys that are saying in Chicago are telling the truth? Maybe those guys are making it up. So we'll get into that a little bit more tomorrow. So in any event, because Eid Zomim is such a big chiddush, Rava, who we almost always ask him, like, says, it's only Mikana Lahaba Unifsal, that let's say these people testify, and 6 months later,
some other witnesses, trials still going on, some other witnesses come along and say, wait a second, the whole fundamental edus is wrong. These guys are with us in the city of Chicago. So Rabbi says, since the whole thing is a massive novelty and it's not clear, logically speaking, why we don't believe the witnesses who testified to the murder and why we believe these guys who stand in Chicago, he says, it's only nifsal mikana laba. We only consider them to be invalid for testimony from the moment that they were rendered invalid. In other words, when those witnesses came along and said, you were with us in the city of Chicago. But they could have testified in 100 cases in between, in that intervening period between the time that they testified and the moment people testified against them. And Rava says all those cases are legitimate because the whole thing is such a chiddush. In bo'el chidusho. Abaye says, eid zomim l'mafreya hu pasal, that you actually go back to the time of testimony, which means that they offered testimony in any cases in between the time that they testified and the time that they were demonstrated to be eidim zomimin, so then all of their testimony is invalid. You have to take apart all those cases. And wouldn't you know? This is one of the six cases in Shas. We know them by the acronym Ya'al Kagam, that we paskin against Rava like Abayu. It's the ayin. It's the Eid Zomim L'mafreya Hu Pasal. We actually paskin like Abayu in this machlokas. So tomorrow, God willing, we'll talk a little bit more about what makes Eidim Zomimin such a fascinating case. You could obviously go ping-pong with this whole situation, because you could get witnesses to say, what are you guys talking about? He was with you in Chicago. You couldn't possibly have known us. You were with us in Toronto. And this can, you know, go on and on and on. Okay, everybody have a great night.